Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Yes, He is. It's awesome to be home. About a year ago, God started a fire in my life. I'm not talking about a Holy Ghost fire. I'm talking about a trial. Things started to unravel in my life a little bit. My plans weren't going as I thought they should go. We had put our daughter in college here, and my wife had thought maybe she should go to Bible school, but I didn't want to give her up and send her away anywhere. So I thought, well, you know, she can go to Parkside, and that'll be good enough. But my wife thought maybe she should go to ABI up in Minnesota or something. You know, it's not that far away, and go to Bible school. But I didn't think that was a good idea. I didn't want to give my daughter up. But I went to men's retreat, and it was like God said, you know, if I ask you to give something up that you didn't want, you're more than willing to give it up. You know? If I ask you to give something up that you don't really care for, you're willing to come up and put it on the sacrifice and put it on the altar. But when I ask you to give something up that you love, you want to hang on to it. So I went to Mount Moriah, and I said, God, if you want her to go to school, that's all right. So Gabby's down at St. Louis Bible School, and she's doing very well. Amen. I thank God for that. She was elected as a class officer, and I just thank God for that. She's singing in the chorale that they got there, and she's doing well. She's doing midterms right now, so if you think about it, pray for her. She's going to be coming to Minnesota for Thanksgiving, so that'll be awesome. We haven't seen her since the wedding, but, you know, sometimes God does that in your life. He'll say, hey, you want to give me this? You want to give me that? And it's easy to give things up that we don't care for, but something that we love, something that we cherish, we don't want to give up. And then it didn't stop there. God still started flaming this trial I was going through, and all of a sudden our office signed a 5-year contract, and I thought things were going to be good. We're going to stay here, you know, and all that. And then just out from underneath us, they said, hey, we're going to close the office. And, but if you want to move to Minnesota, you can keep your job. I thought, God, what's going on? These aren't my plans. And I thought, well, prayed about it, and I said, well, God, you know, I'll do what you want me to do. And so we prayed about it, and we thought, well, Super Value wanted a two-year agreement, so we thought, well, for 2 years, we'll make the agreement. We'll move at least for 2 years. So now I take my daughter to St. Louis, and my wife and I move up to Minnesota. I got a job, but she doesn't have a job, so we're thinking she's a school secretary. Y'all may be seated. I'm thinking she's a school secretary, so maybe she'll get a job doing that. And we didn't really want her to work till after Gabby got in school. So the weekend we got back from taking Gabby to school, we'd found out that the receptionist at Super Value retired, and so my wife applied for the job, and they hired her. So now we get to ride to work together, get to have lunch together, get to go home together, you know. And it's nice to have that second income, you know, and being able to help put our daughter through school and all that kind of stuff. So I still don't know what God's going to do, but I just want to be in His will. I want to be in His plan. I want to do what He wants me to do. And I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Schumacher this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to come back home. This is home. We think about you guys all the time. There's not a day that goes by we don't think about you, think about the church, you know. We try and keep up with the podcast, listening to your sermons. And I hear Brother Mackey preach last Wednesday. We try and keep up with all the meals. We don't want to miss one, right? Amen. So we listen to podcasts and visiting ministers say all this good stuff about this church when they come, and you know what I'm talking about, how they talk about the worship and the Schumachers, and it's all true. It's all true. The power of God is awesome here. And God's the same everywhere, but when you get this body, this personality, this group that comes together and you expect it every Sunday, it's just awesome to be able to be in this place. And you all are special people to us. And, 18 years ago we came here, and so I've got 18 years of soaking in Brother Schumacher and Sister Schumacher's ministry that has impacted my life and changed my life and helped me to be a better man and better Christian. I just want to take that and continue to use that for whatever God would have us to use it. So, and I just give you, I was working on something. God's been dealing with me on something and talking to me about my life and what I need to do and how I need to change. And again, men's retreat last year, God just started something in my life, and it's still going, but this year it didn't stop. Brother Putnam preached on men that need to stay in the line of fire, not just for your family and your kids, but for the church. And we had a message in tongues today, and we could have just left and had an altar call after Jesus talked to us this morning. And I feel so inept to be able to be up here and speak, but it's so true. We need to stay in the line of fire for our church. The things that we stand for, we can't let him go. And he used the analogy of when President Reagan was shot and he had bodyguards in the line of fire to take the bullets for him. And that's what we need to do, men, spiritually. Not just for our wives and our kids, but for the church. For the church. For what we believe in. For the Word of God. And then Brother Rogers talked about your testimony and do you talk about, when you talk to people, do you talk to them about your church? How wonderful your pastor is? How wonderful God is? Or do you actually mention the name of Jesus? And you talk about what the real deal is, the name of Jesus. And we did a real good exercise, but I can't preach their messages, but if you want to get the tapes, I'm sure you can get them. It was a real good men's retreat, and there was several of you there, and I really appreciate that. That I was able to see you guys a little bit there, and so, amen. God willing, we'll be back for the Holiness Conference. Amen. So I just look forward to that. If you'll stand, turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Like I said, I was kind of working on something. God was giving me something and didn't know exactly what it was for. I know it's for me. I've been, God deals with me and gives me messages, and they're for my life, my heart, just like God stepped on my toes at last men's conference. This men's conference, God danced all over my toes again. And I say, keep dancing on my feet, Jesus. Keep telling me what it's like. And y'all know Debbie White. She came to work after she left here Wednesday. She drove back there on Thursday, and she stopped in the office on her way home. She had a sheet of paper, and on this paper she had a bunch of notes written down that God was telling her to give me. And God actually had her pull off the road on the way home and had to write some stuff down and get something for me. And she said, I don't know what this is for, I don't know what this is about, but I'm just following the leading of the Holy Ghost. And it kind of confirms what I had been working on and what God was dealing with me about and talking to me about. And I didn't know I was going to be preaching here today. But it all worked out, and God had his hand on everything, so I appreciate Janelle and Joshua let me come over and use their printer this morning to print my notes out, so thank you very much. I didn't have a printer at Jeff's house, but anyway, God is good. Ezekiel 1, 4, we'll start with 3. And the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzni, and the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. He's having a vision. A whirlwind out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came a likeness of 4 living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had 4 faces, and everyone had 4 wings. Say, 4 wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And verse 8 is my key verse here today. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their 4 sides. Amen. Jesus, have your way today, God. Just use me as a vessel, God, to deliver your message, Lord. I know, God, that this has spoken to my heart, God, and you've challenged me, God. And I pray, God, that I can have the same spirit, Lord Jesus. Just allow me, God, to be your vessel. Allow the word to penetrate our hearts, God. We have experienced such an awesome presence of you here today, God. Allow this word to sink into our hearts, God, that we would leave changed, Lord God, with a different experience, God. We'd leave changed with your power radiating through us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to tell you what all the scripture means today because I don't know what it all means. I know it's important, and I know there's a lot of stuff in here, you know, with all the different typologies and colors and metals and legs and arms and stuff, but Ezekiel had a vision from God, and this is what his description of what angels looked like to him. And I know I look out here today, and none of us are angels here today, amen? Some of the kids downstairs might be, but none of us here are angels. I'm not an angel. But God has given me a spiritual application for this verse regarding my life and my work here on earth, and I'm going to share that with us today. We see that they have four wings, and wings have a purpose. Wings take us heavenly. Wings lift a bird off from the ground and allow them to take flight up into the sky. And wings are an awesome thing. I wish I had a set of wings, amen? But I don't. Praise God. Wings lift an airplane off of the ground, off of the sky. Wings allow birds to fly. They allow insects to fly. We see bugs, you know, flying around, no problem. They just zip from here, zip from there. Wings takes people from here to there. Animals, airplanes. You know, there are times when you and I, as apostolics, encounter like the presence of God we had today. And we take Christ and we lift up Christ and he brings us up into his presence. And we spiritually are lifted up like the birds that fly and like the insects that fly and like the airplanes that fly. Spiritually, we're lifted up into the heavens. Psalm 149 says the high praises. There are moments where our praises are just joined up with him on high. And wings, they escort us in a spiritual realm. Everyone say wings. Wings speak of our experience of that which is heavenly. In the song service this morning, it was just awesome. Everyone here was transcended from this auditorium if you allowed yourself to into a supernatural place with God. It was awesome. I felt it, and I know most of you felt it, and if you didn't, you can. You can have that experience with Jesus Christ. You can have a wing experience, shall we call it, in the spirit. You can allow yourself to fly. You can allow yourself to be lifted up into the heavens spiritually and to say, I don't know what this feeling is, but it feels good and I love it. And sometimes, you know, we don't have natural wings, but the spiritual wings represent that which is divine. We can also use wings in fasting. Sometimes when we fast and we get a spiritual high, we fast and we say, God, I'm not going to eat. And those are ways to fly. You know, prayer, come on Saturday morning prayer and you allow God to take you from this place to another place spiritually and in worship. And those are awesome things. And these elevate us past the natural into the supernatural. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Can you relate to having a wing experience? Every time I come to church, I want to have a wing experience. Every time I get into his presence, I want to have a wing experience. I want to allow God to change my life. I want to allow the presence of God to change me. God amazes me. Sometimes he leaves us breathless. And after the service, we just don't want to go anywhere. We're just like, oh, it feels so good to be in God's presence. You know, we just like, can we have church every night of the week? This is just awesome. And that's the experience I'm talking about. There's truly nothing like a wing experience. At Lambeau Field today, they're going to experience, you know, football and all that, but it's not a wing experience, okay? That's a man-made wing experience. They're going to try and have this atmosphere and all that kind of stuff, and it'll work for a short period of time, but I'm talking about a true wing experience where we truly get into the presence of God. And if you have not had that experience, you can have that, especially in this church. It's generated before you even walk through the doors. There's people that have prayed for the service. There's people that have fasted for the service. There's people that have prepared, and there is a wing experience. If you want it, it is here. God will allow you to transcend this place into a heavenly place, and you can feel the power of God. Paul describes this experience of the wings in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth such a one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Only God knows how that he was caught up into paradise. I love to be caught up into paradise. When you get alone with God and you're praying in your private closet or something and time goes by and that's just, you don't even know how long you've been praying, God just catches you up. Or you come to church like this and all of a sudden you look up and it's been, song service has been going on for 40 minutes and you're like, keep going. This feels good. And that's the power of God and the mercy that my wife sang about this morning, and the mercy of God is so new every morning, and that's what I want in my life. The mercy of God. God, I never want to walk away with you. I was teaching a Bible study to a Muslim that God has brought to our church, and we're teaching him and his wife, and we went through, we're talking about Cain and Abel, and Cain, the Bible says, he walked away from the presence of God. And I told him, I says, don't ever allow yourself to choose to walk away from the presence of God. Who would want to walk away from a wing experience? It's such a wonderful encounter. Amen. And Paul didn't have actual wings, but he was caught up into paradise spiritually. Moments like that are awesome. He didn't even know if he was in his body or not, you know? I mean, that's the kind of experience I want to have. Thank God for wing moments, amen? Moments where we can be escorted into the holiest of holies. I never want to stop having a wing moment. And I want more of them, and I desire more of them. Moments like we had this morning, God, take me higher and higher. I want to have those experiences. I want more heavenly experiences like that. Amen? Amen. There's a person in the Bible that had a wing experience. I got to find my right page here. I'm sorry, but I got my notes a little messed up this morning. If you want to turn to Samuel, used to have all less than a three-ring binder, but wings are not the only appendage that the angels have. Ezekiel 1:8 says, I'm not sure. Let me read Ezekiel. I got ahead of myself. Ezekiel 1:8. You can stay at Samuel. We'll be there in a minute. I'll be down that street here in a minute. Thank you, Jesus, for a wing experience. Ezekiel 1:8 says, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their foreside. So I'm not sure what the angels' responsibilities are, but at some point, God asked angels to do something, and they have to fold their wings and stretch out their hands and use their hands. God gave the angels hands under their wings. And I thank God for the dance. I thank God for the shout. I thank God for the wing moments that we have in our life. But we have to understand is God has created us, church, for another purpose. Sometimes we need to fold our wings and stretch forth our hands. Why would you say this? What's going on? The world does not understand wing moments. The world does not understand your wings. But they do understand your hands. What good would it do to go to a neighbor's house who just went through a relationship breakup? To go to the neighbor's house and say, hey, I'm here for you, whatever you need. You know, I'm going to come over. So you go over to the neighbor's house and you dance around in their living room and you speak in tongues and you have a song service for half an hour. What good would that do? Or you go to Culver's to meet someone who's hurting that said, hey, I need to meet with you. I got to talk to you. I got an issue. and you sit there for 20 minutes and just talk in tongues. What good would that do? If all my life for God that I do is I do with wings, what good am I? There's times where we need to fold our wings and stretch forth our hands and touch someone that is hurting. To fulfill a burden in your life, try to use your hands to touch someone. Stay with me today, okay? I'm going somewhere here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit, for they're foolish unto him. People come to church and they see us worshiping like this and they don't understand what's going on and they think it's foolish. You have a situation at work, you have a trial at work, and you say, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm going through this trial." And they look at you like, "Man, you're nuts. Well, you're going through this and you're still happy? It's Monday morning. Why you got a smile on your face? The Packers lost, man." You know, they don't understand the things of the Spirit. Bible says, "For they're foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Hurting people in your life cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. A broken and hurting people need a touch from us. There's no need to try and impress them with your wings. There's no need to take a person and demonstrate how many oneness scriptures you can quote. I hear your spouse is in the hospital. Can I go visit them? Can I pray with you guys? Hey, I hear you're sick. Can I bring you some chicken noodle soup? Can I come over and pick your kids up and take them to school? That's what the world understands as a help and as a Christian. I'm here for you. They don't understand wings, but they always understand hands. We need to be spiritual, church. Don't misunderstand me. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to have this corporate worship. You need to have individual times where you get to God and he takes you to that paradise place. We need all those things. But church, God is telling me, okay, this is he preached this to me. We need to touch sinners where they're living to make their life and their situations better. Do they need a ride to church? It's out of my way, but I'll go get them. Bible studies across town, but I'll go. We need to be there to encourage them. It's going to take another night out of my week, but that's okay, God. I'm going to fold my wings and I'm going to stretch forth my hands. I love to dance. I love to worship. I love to shout, but God, there's going to be times when I need to fold my wings and stretch out my hands and just get to work. Work. It's not a popular word. There's a lot of jobs. There's a lot of work available. A lot of people don't want to work. Revival takes work, church. You know, when you come on Sunday morning, and Brother Sean's up here, and he was at the men's retreat, and he did an awesome job ushering in the presence of God with music there. I appreciate that, brother. And when you come into church and you have a worship service like this, that's not work. You know, when God touches you and you cry and your tears are streaming down your face because you think of the mercies of God, that's not work. Everyone wants to be in the upper room and always have an upper room experience. But there's comes a time when we need to leave the upper room. There comes a time when we need to go out and talk to people and reach people. Now I'm on to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel." Can you imagine an audible voice of God? How many have had heard the audible voice of God here? There's a few. That's an awesome experience. I've never had the audible voice of God, but that would be a wing experience. Would you not agree? Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli." Now Eli is the priest. He's the high priest. And he's telling him what he's going to do against the high priest and all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. So he's telling this young prophet everything that's going to happen in the high priest's life and high priest's family. And when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever of the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons have made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. I therefore have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice or offering forever. So here Samuel's laying in bed, and he's having a wing experience. God is audibly telling him what's going to happen to the nation of Israel. God is informing him what's going to happen. What a powerful experience with God. God is telling him the future. That's a wing experience. But he laid down until the next morning. I probably would too. I'd be scared to death to have all that information. But what did Samuel do in verse 15? And Samuel lay until the morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He had to take his wings and put them away, and he went and he opened the house of God so that people could get in. He used his hands. Samuel opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And this is a mind-blowing, marvelous encounter with the Lord. The very next day, he gets up and he folds his wings and he uses his hands to open the house of the Lord. Something you can't do with wings. It takes hands to turn the door, to open the door. And the church will never get to a place where it's always wing moments. Wings allow us to encounter God in a powerful way, but it's our hands that open the doors to allow someone to experience God for the very first time. Let's not be afraid to fold our wings and stretch forth our hands. Samuel was laying down having a wing experience, and God told me, Jeff, you've been laying down too long. Jeff, you've been enjoying this wing experience too long. Jeff, get on your feet and do something for me. Yeah, you're like Samuel. I'm giving you a wing experience. You've got all this excitement. You've got all this power, this knowledge. You know what the Holy Ghost is, and it's just all great, and you've got this wing experience in your life. But Jeff, get off your bed. Get off your cot and go do something. Let someone in the house of the Lord. I want to use my hands to allow someone to come into the church for the first time. Look for somewhere where you can use your hands to affect a life that's broken or someone that's hurting. The harvest is ready. Debbie, God told her to stop at an exit. And God told her to buy a sickle for me. She didn't know God was dealing with this in my life. But here, you can't pick us up with a wing. You've got to pick it up with your hand. And church, this is a sickle. The harvest is ready. There is nothing wrong with the harvest. The harvest is ready. You heard Jesus tell us today, the harvest is ready. Do you have a sickle in your hand? A sickle in your hand. Use what God has given you. It takes work. There are Sunday school teachers that are downstairs today that use their hand to prepare a lesson. There are men that go into the Bible, that go into the prison, that use their hands to get in the prison, and they go in there and they teach people. And I know there's people here that teach Bible studies, and you need your hands to teach a Bible study, to get the chart out and do all that. I understand that there are a lot of people here that are doing what God asks us to do, but I'm talking to myself here today and anybody here that this one or two that might get a hold of something here. It takes hands to minister to people. Amen. Amen. A well-known story in Mark chapter 2. And Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Jesus is in the house. It's going to be a wing experience. Jesus is here. And straightway, many were gathered, just like today, in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. They were jammed outside. They were jammed everywhere. Jesus was in the house. The Bible said he was preaching the word unto them. Jesus was preaching to them. That is a wing experience. I tell you what,
Jesus talked to us this morning, and that's the wing experience. That's what I want to hear is Jesus preaching. Jesus was in the house. They were all there to expect a miracle, expecting something from Jesus. They were there to hear something. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. He was carried by four. You can't carry somebody with wings. You got to carry him with hands. So they carried him to Jesus. So they got him to church. They got him to the door. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. They couldn't get in the house. They couldn't get in the window. They couldn't get in the back door. We got to get to Jesus. I've got to get this guy to Jesus. They had tenacity. They went to the roof and they put a hole in the roof. It says, and when they couldn't come nigh, they broke it up and they laid the bed down wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They used their hands to get that man to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And if you keep reading down there, he completely healed that man. He completely healed him. Now, our spiritual intellect sometimes will bring people to the house of God. Sometimes we can teach people Bible studies and all that, and people will come here because of that. And this guy came to the, maybe he didn't know Jesus, but his four friends knew Jesus. So they brought him to Jesus. And it wasn't the shout, it wasn't the dance, it wasn't the worship service that brought him down to Jesus. It was somebody using their hands. But look at this. The house was full of people. I don't know how many would fit in the house, but it was full. Lots of people wanted to hear Jesus. Lots of people wanted the wing moment. But the guys that used their hands to carry someone to Jesus, they got what they came for. The Bible only tells us Jesus healed that one person that day. It doesn't say that he healed anybody else or touched anybody else in that house. But those people that brought that man to Jesus, they got their what they came for. They got his friend's healing. Amen? Nobody else in that house, the Bible doesn't say God, Jesus did anything for anybody else. They were all looking for wing moments. They're all looking to hear the preacher. Oh, I'm going to hear so-and-so. I'm going to hear so-and-so. But you got to come there with a purpose. Got to come there with something in your heart. You got to bring somebody. You got to come there with the attitude of, I'm going to come and get something. Amen. My last point this morning as the musicians come, and you can start the PowerPoint if you want. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. A lot of people are in the house. A lot of people want a wing moment. A lot of people come to hear Jesus preaching. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Church, the harvest is not the issue. There's hundreds of people that are hurting. I drive by cities on the way to work. Minnesota's only got like 26 churches in the whole state. Wisconsin's got 121. I mean, I drive by Plymouth, 70,000, no church. You know, I drive by Hopkins, 36,000, no church. I drive by city after city after city. I'm like, my heart's just tore out. God, there's no churches here. And you can do the same thing in Wisconsin, but at least Wisconsin's got four times as many churches. And there's 6 million people in Minneapolis, and there's three churches, four churches maybe. It's like there's nothing wrong with the harvest. The issue is, what are you trying to harvest? God's provided you a harvest right where you are. Don't pick and choose the field you want to work in. God put you where he wanted you. You're the only one that can reach those people on your job. You're the only one that can reach those people at your school. You're the only one that can reach those your neighbors. God put you there. Don't pick and choose your harvest. What's lacking is not the harvest. It's what's lacking is people who will fold their wings and use their hands. Yeah, it's tough. It's easier to get out our wings and have a great service. It's easier to say, I'll fast for the revival. I'll fast 2 or 3 days for the revival. I'll come and pray every morning for the revival. But to talk to somebody, to invite somebody, ooh. To ask my neighbor, ooh. To use the shekel you gave me,
I'll give an extra $100 for the revival.
At some point, we need to fold our wings and go and knock on the door and ask someone to come to the house of God and experience Jesus Christ. Take the sickle out that God's given you and use it. Take a Bible study chart and go to someone's house and share it with them. I know it's a sacrifice. I know it's work. But that's what Jesus is looking for. It's what it's going to take to have a revival. Will you fold your wings? The harvest is ready. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever thy hand findeth to do. You want to do something? You want a ministry? Here's a shekel. Wherever you're at, there's a harvest. It's ripe. It's ready. You are the reaper. Where's your shekel? Let's all stand. It's so important in our day and age. We don't have much time left, church. I'm telling you, the world can't last much longer. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night cometh, and when the night comes, no man can work. Here's the question of the hour. Where are the people who are willing to come and say, Lord, I'm able to do whatever you want me to do. I'll talk to my neighbor. I'll talk to the person at the gas station, the grocery store. I'll mention the name of Jesus, as Brother Rogers so eloquently taught us men. Don't just talk about your church. Talk about Jesus. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. I'm done being a spectator. I'm ready to accomplish the greatest thing God has for mankind. Are you? 95% of ministry happens outside these walls. 95% of ministry, and it could be even more. Are you willing to give your hands to God and say, God, I'll fold my wings, I'll stretch forth my hand, I'll pick up the sickle. If you need an encounter with Jesus Christ today, today is your hour. He is here. He will give you a wing experience today. He will. That's the kind of God we serve. He wants you to have those. But there are many people that are going to fold their wings and they'll reach out and pray with you today. You can say, Jesus, here I am. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I want, Lord God, to fold my wings, and I want to use my hands. I want to win the lost. I want you, Jesus Christ, to use me. Are you willing today? I know God just stepped all over my toes when I was studying this. And I'm like, God, is this for the church? And then when Sister Debbie brought me, she had written out some notes. And there was stuff in there about the harvest and about the sickle and stuff. And she brought me a sickle, and I thought, wow. And then I was asked to minister. And I'm like, God, I just want to be your vessel and just tell the church, pick up your sickle today. Amen, Brother Schumacher.
You know, when God repeats himself, you know it's important. And for the last three services, we've been hearing this subject. Because it's not enough just to have an experience with God. We need to do something with that experience. The experience charges us, gives us the excitement. Some time ago, I said to this congregation over and over again, I say, would you stand with me? It's not a matter of just getting people off of their seats. It's a matter of, will you stand with me? Someone called me this week and said, Pastor, I have a dream about you. And I said, say on. And the dream was this. She said that I stood up in front of the congregation and I grabbed my Bible and I started marching. I've been teaching this Bible study on Tuesday. It truly is a revival for me, a revival. I'm seeing people hear the Word of God for the first time, and I see it on their faces. And the dream was this. I grabbed my Bible, and I started marching, and everybody grabbed their Bible, and they started marching. And there was a great harvest of souls, because you can't just hear. That's what Jesus said this morning. Are you hearing the preacher? Or are you just going to walk out of here and be exactly the same? We're here for a purpose. God has given us this gorgeous church, and there's so many talented people in here. But it's time, church, to pick up your Bible and march after the man of God and reach out. Would you come to the altar? Thank you, Jesus.